Anyway, so today, this is what we got going on. Today is, you see, it's our story, but we insert God in it because God's inserted into our story, right? Actually, we're inserted into his story. But we're going to do this. What we're going to do today, we're going to do about 3 to 4 times this year and hopefully every year. And what that means is there's going to be 3 or 4 Sundays a year that you're going to hear from one another. Okay? So I try to make sure that we bring additional voices into Real Life Chapel. I try to make sure that I'm just not hogging the pulpit, but I try to expose you guys to different voices, whether we have guest speakers come in from around the world or even from, you know, the area. But some of the voices you also need to hear is you need to hear the voices of the people who sit next to you or sit behind you or sitting in front of you. And so we're going to be having these Sundays called Our Story Sundays, where we have people from the congregation share. Now, these are not open mic moments, okay? We don't do that because I trust a few of you. And that's where we'll go with that. So these will be planned ahead of time. We'll talk to people ahead of time. And so we're going to be starting this morning. So we're going to have two guys that are going to be speaking to you this morning. And you've seen them or you know who they are. But Bo Bryan and Joe Martin are both going to be speaking to you this morning. And a couple of reasons. I always try to start things. I try to start within my small group and then move out to connecting people. And one of the good news, I mean, there's going to be a lot of good things you're going to hear this morning. But these two guys, their story kind of connects, which is why I thought it would be very cool to have them share together this morning. And but we're gonna do a song and then share a story and then do a song and then share a story. But we don't want to bust up the mood like Ted has already stated by all of a sudden switching gears and saying time to collect the offering, right? So he's already let you know the guys are going to be standing in front of the doors with the buckets. Anyway, glad you guys are here this morning. Open up your program. I want to share with you just this first scripture. And these are the words of the Apostle Paul in Acts. And I've always loved this verse. Paul is kind of summing up, and you could basically say that this is the Apostle Paul's life verse. This is the verse that gives him purpose for living and what he feels that God has called him to do. And it says this, Acts 20:24, "But my life is worth nothing to me unless I use it for finishing the work assigned me by the Lord Jesus." Right? So Paul's saying, my job isn't as important. My agenda isn't as important. But God's agenda, the work that Jesus has given me, that's what makes my life have meaning. And he says, what is this work? The work of telling others the good news about the wonderful grace of God. And so this morning, that's what we're going to be hearing. We're going to be hearing stories about the good news of the wonderful grace of God. And so some of these are going to be what you might consider, not necessarily this morning, but in the coming days when we do this, you may hear testimonies or what, you know, that church word testimony. They're simply our story. That's all a testimony is your story. And some of them may be the story of coming to Christ. Some of them may be the story of what God's doing in their lives right now. Maybe what God has amazingly done in their lives recently. We all have a story. And maybe we'll hear yours this year. So I hope so. So I want to pray real quick, and then these guys are going to sing a song. I'm going to ask you to stand up, if you will. Yeah, I was talking to you guys. All right, let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you again for the opportunity that we have this morning to gather in your name, to lift up praise that you are certainly worthy of. And so, Lord, we're going to lift our voices to you right now and just ask you, Lord, to move in our presence this morning. And we want you to be glorified through every note that is played, every lyric that is sung, every word that is spoken. And so, Lord, we give it to you now. And because we know that we can trust you. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Heard a thousand stories of what they think you're like, but I heard the tender whisper of love in the dead of night, and you tell me that you're pleased and that I'm never alone. You're a good, good father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. And I've seen many searching for answers far and wide, but I know we're all searching for answers. Only you provide, because you know just what we need before we say a word. You're a good, good father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You are perfect. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. To us. Sing, you are perfect. Lord, you are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways to us. In love so undeniable, I can hardly speak. Peace so unexplainable, I can hardly think as you call me deeper still, as you call me deeper still, as you call me deeper still into love, love, love. You're a good, good father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You are perfect. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. To us, you are perfect. Lord, you are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You're a good, good father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am.
Good morning, everyone. I saw Frank pray, and I wasn't too sure what he was praying for, but he was probably saying, oh my, please don't let anything come out of his mouth too terrible. But anyway, several months ago, I was up here and was talking about grace and coming up front and praying. And one thing I didn't do on the last go-round was I wanted to thank this church family a great deal. You've been very supportive to me. You've helped me through my journey, and as I stated before, you know, this started, you know, 4 or so years ago, and you have all made this very, very easy for me, and as Pastor Frank says, we are all in this together. So, you know, testimony, story, event, my first event, testimony or story, however you want to look at it, was I was sitting in church probably 3 or so years ago, and this actually changed my heart and opened it up to me accepting God, because he was definitely talking to me, and I realized that. And you know, I always, as a non-believer, said, you know, there are coincidences, but this is truly God's plan. So Cheryl and I were sitting eating breakfast on a Sunday before I came to church, and she read me some scripture that we will now put up there. And it was Isaiah verse 43, chapter 43, verses 18 to 19. And she read them to me, and I didn't think anything about it. I thought there was good scripture and good word. And she had to take my daughter to the hospital that morning. And she said, go ahead, I got it. She goes, I know how you hate missing church. So hence I was, you know, sitting in church. So that day, Frank wasn't here. And we had a substitute pastor, which I'm sorry, I don't know his name. I wasn't paying attention, I guess, that morning. But anyway, he told us, you know, his story. And then the first scripture that he put up on the screen was Isaiah 18 and 19. Cheryl had just got done reading that to me, not more than an hour before that. And then the pastor puts that up on the screen. Needless to say, my jaw dropped. I turned around and looked at Joe, and he looked at me and saw a look on my face that he's probably never seen before, and I just got up and I walked out of church. Actually, I said, here's my money. Make sure it gets into the bucket before I left. But anyway, you know, I walked outside, and I was just in total disbelief that, you know, this was bang, bang to me. And I called Cheryl. Joe came outside, and I told them both the story, exactly what happened. And I said, I got to go. And he's like, where you got to go? I said, I got to go forgive my mother. Because as you see, and forget the formal things, don't dwell on them. So the situation at our household as kids was not that great. So you have to understand this, you know, for me to forgive my mother was a major undertaking in my life, because it wasn't a really good childhood for me at all. There was a lot of scars, a lot of bad memories. But the thing that hurt me the most was how it divided our family. Our brothers and sisters, my brother and two sisters, I won't say we hated each other, but we fought all the time. We didn't care what happened to either one of us. My father was out of the picture, and, you know, I held that on her. And, you know, that's bothered me the most. So, I went outside, told the story to Joe and Cheryl, went home, grabbed my Bible, grabbed my cross, and went to the location where my mother was. So you're all thinking about that. But anyway, my sister had given us all a vial and of her ashes. And a while back, I put it in a location that was not too good of a location. But anyway, I went back to that location. So this is a huge pond, 50 acres. And if you can imagine this, this is quite large pond. So where I threw her ashes, I sat down close enough to them. And that was out in the water, out in the pond. And I prayed. I asked God to forgive her. I told her I forgave her. And I actually was hoping that, you know, one day I could see her if God give, you know, forgave her enough that we could meet in heaven. But as I was getting up after that prayer, I looked out into this pond. Now, it was a real windy day. There was waves everywhere, white caps, the whole nine yards. And I am telling you, there was a circle that was dead calm, flat. And I was like, that's where I had thrown her, so to get that. So I was sitting there, and I'm like going, if I see that vial come up and go to heaven, I'm gonna be knocking on people's doors telling them they better change their ways pretty quick. So anyway, my next event, so that's when that really opened up. That's when I started to feel God. That's when I started to feel Holy Spirit working on me. And, you know, Pastor Frank, you know, talked about this last month, God's plan and being disciple. And we need to believe God's working on us every day, even though sometimes it doesn't, you know, feel like it. And, you know, you pray and when's he going to, you know, help me and this, that, and the other. But, you know, like I said before, that, you know, grace is extremely important to me. He has given me so much grace. It's unbelievable. And I know Jesus has, you know, forgiven me for my sins. Not that I'm using that as a crutch, because that's not what it's about. But, you know, we just need to, you know, stay in touch with Jesus as much as we can. So, you know, I went through Frank's discipleship class. I can now go out and I can talk to people. I feel comfortable talking to people, even people I don't know about, you know, God. And believe me when I tell you this, 4 years ago, that would have never, ever entered my mind. And so the second event that's happened, several years back, or two years back, a real close family of mine were having issues with their son. And, you know, we prayed, and in our Bible study Thursday night, Bible study class, we prayed that night, and, you know, was just hoping for, you know, something to happen. Well, it happened. The very next day, that situation escalated to the point where their son had to be removed from the house. So at the moment, something came out of my mouth that I'm not too happy about, but just remember, I was in my infant stages of all this. I said, so much for praying last night, huh? And we just all looked at each other, and, you know, we were in disbelief. The mother was, you know, just flat out crying, looked at me and says, you know, I'm having a hard time believing, you know, in God anymore. And she's further along than me in my journey. And she corrected herself somewhat after the event that happened, or all the way, I guess. But Joe and I are crying. Excuse me. And his wife also was crying. And we went into the house, and she wanted one thing and one thing only, and that was to talk to her son. But he was removed. He wasn't at the household anymore. So I hugged Joe. I went outside, and I grabbed hold of her, and I said, you know, listen, you got to keep believing. You know, even after I said what I said about God, you know, so much for praying. Well, I'm telling you, within a couple minutes, that telephone rang, and it was her son calling to speak to her. And we just looked at each other in, you know, just total disbelief, and, you know, God was working his magic, and, you know, coincidence? I don't think so. You know, there's no way. But to let y'all know, their son has done a 180. He's doing excellent. You know, things are really well at the household. And, you know, please remember, God works on his terms, not ours. So just remember that. So the next event, a buddy of mine of 40-plus years, we grew up together. He grew up in a Catholic school and a Catholic church. Please don't hold that against him. But anyway, he's a great guy. And we grew up and, you know, we used to work out and talk and all that stuff. And he'd bring up religion every now and then. They knew not to try to push me too hard because I was just not get away from me with that. So I had several friends that did the same thing. And, you know, I just told him, no way, you know, I don't believe. So as the years passed, him and I separated. he got married and divorced. And so then when we got back in touch 9 or so years ago, we ran into each other and we were talking this, that, and the other. And then we became real close again. And he's my buddy up in Thurmond who I go help him out several times a year. And I noticed he wasn't, you know, talking about God and religion anymore. He wasn't picking up the Bible and all that stuff. And I was like, hey, dude, you know, now I'm starting to get my fill from God. And here I am starting to work on him. 180, he was working on me, and now I'm working on him. Hey, look, it's time for you to pick up the Bible, get back to church, and, you know, let's get rolling on this journey. Well, he didn't want anything of it. He said that, you know, the hypocritical Christians totally turned him away from it, and he was done with it. So things started to change in his life really bad, and things, you know, just picked up. That anything that could go wrong went wrong. And excuse me for a second. And I said, look, man, it's time. You got to do something. Well, he had a girlfriend that put him in a bad way for a while, and he said, finally, okay, I'm going to do it. Well, he picked up the Bible, started reading, started going to church, and he found himself a good Christian companion, a female. And let me tell you something. He has done a 180. He calls me and says, man, I can feel the Holy Spirit. I can feel the goosebumps coming through the phone just about. And he's back on his journey, and the Holy Spirit's definitely in, you know, inside of him. And so we were talking one day. And he was where he worked, this girl works there as well. So it was, you know, his girlfriend at work. So you can imagine the tension every morning, every day, walking in there. And them two just looked at each other with, you know, hate on their face. So I said, do me a favor. Doesn't have to happen today, tomorrow, week, month. I said, go up, stick your hand out. Say, look, everything's good. Everything's forgiven. Let's move on. Well, he did that the very next morning and called me that night and said, man, thank you so much. It's so much better. So the tension is gone. The Holy Spirit was working through me to work to him. God was definitely, you know, he's just working his magic. And it just, every day that goes by and I see this, you know, like I said, they used to be coincidences to me, but now they're not. It's God's plan. So we talk a lot. And I said, you know, do you think God had a plan from us from day one? And he was like, oh, yeah, and I do believe it, you know. He got us together when we were 15 and 16. He tried to get me onto religion. I told him no. So now in our mid to upper 40s, here I'm in, 50. you know, we're back together again, and, you know, I'm helping him. So I'm like, wow, you know, that's total 180 again, and so I think that was all God. Well, I know it was God's plan to put us together back there as kids, keep us as friends over 40 plus years, and then me helping him out the last 10 years. And it's just unbelievable. I mean, I just can't explain it. So the final event, surprise. Please come up here. And I told her there was going to be a surprise, but I didn't tell her what it was because she always says that I can't keep a surprise under wraps. Come on. So this is my wife, Cheryl. And, you know, recently we've had our crisis in our family, and it was pretty tough. Our daughter made a decision that neither one of us could understand, figure out, didn't like. And it about destroyed our family. And then when I'm saying destroyed our family, it about destroyed our family. I mean, it was a lot of, you talk about tension, there was a lot of tension. You know, we tried to be supportive. I was a little bit more supportive than she was toward my daughter. But you have to realize those two were as tight as any mother and daughter could possibly be, and this about destroyed Cheryl. So I kind of got put in the middle. I was understanding to my daughter's decision, and I was understanding to my wife's decision on, you know, why she held her ground on this situation. So we prayed and prayed and prayed, and then Thursday night Bible study group also prayed. And I will say today that this family is doing 100% better. We still don't understand, you know, the decisions that she's made, but we're dealing with them in our way, and we're using God as, you know, our crutch. And, you know, yes, I do ask for help from him. So I'm going to tie all this together, if I possibly can, with the scripture that's up there. So, forget the former things and don't dwell on the past. Well, when I was sitting there, when she was reading me the scripture that morning, and that was one of the things that stuck out that I thought was a really good word, because, you know, let's not dwell on that, you know. I know it's hard to forgive someone, but I think it's very important for us to let it roll off our shoulder, because if it doesn't, it's just going to eat you up inside, and you're putting a lot of worrying into something you don't need to be worrying about, because a lot of times we cannot change, you know, anything about the situation. So that verse right there, definitely, that's my mother right there. So I forgave my mother, and you have to remember, this woman was beyond abuse, I mean, to the max. I know exactly where I stood in the family. I was the worst kid, and I was the biggest pile of, we'll say, beans, for, you know, a different term. She was just an evil person. So when I could do that, that was, I knew God was working on me. And it was just no doubt about it, because there was a lot of hatred toward her. I'm not saying that I don't, you know, don't feel something in there deep, but I can tell you I don't have the hatred that I have for her. So that's also Brian's story, a part of Brian's story, because he forgave his girlfriend and moved on from that, and he's got a good life now with, you know, with that. So verse 19, see, I'm doing a new thing. I'm up here. So, you know, if you would ask me, you know, 2-3 years ago, I would have never even thought about coming up here, believe me. that was uncomprehendable for me. God, through the Holy Spirit, has just worked on me and got me up here. And, you know, Frank's discipleship class, you know, has helped me to go out and reach people, talk to people. And I'm just doing it without conscience anymore. It's just something I'm doing. So, you know, that verse has helped me, because, you know, I'm walking through the wilderness. I'm perceiving what he's saying. I'm understanding, hey, look, I'm calling on you. Do it. So when that happens, come out of your comfort zone. Do it. You know, don't think about it. And, you know, it's important, very important. So I was actually reading some scripture this morning, and Genesis chapter 22, and, you know, verses 12 and 13, I mean, it was talking about how God works on his terms. You know, on a split of a second, certain things he does. And, you know, we might wanted them to happen a long time ago, but for that instance with Joe, you know, all his wife wanted it was one thing, is talk to his son, and within a minute or two, it happened. So I want to thank you all very, very much for listening to me. I hope I didn't put anybody to sleep, but my counterpart is going to be taken over from this point. So that's my story, and if it happens to me again, you're liable to see my face again. So, you know, I feel good when I'm up here doing this, because, you know, I just want everybody to know that if I can just help one person through God's help, working through me, that's all I want to do, because, You know, there was people in my life that I do greatly appreciate that always pushed me and helped me, even though I didn't want it. When I look back on the whole thing, that was God's plan to help me out. So I love y'all. Have a good day.
How great is that, that we can be here singing a song about the God that loves us that much? If not for that love, there's no way I would even be here. As Bo said, the journey is long, it's windy, it takes detours, it goes every way imaginable, good, bad. I got stories that are tragic, horrific, the worst case scenarios I wouldn't wish on my enemy. And in the midst of all that, it showed me how God, no matter what, was right there. He took me from the depths of despair to miracles, grace, mercy, blessing, gifts beyond all belief. And the problem we have is we focus on all that negativity, the horrific things, the tragedies, all of it, and lose sight on the fact that every single day he gifts us, he blesses us, he shows us mercy, he shows us grace. I sit here today and look at my life and the blessings he's bestowed upon me. I've taken them for granted for years. I have a wife that has been my rock, my family's foundation for 19 years, that every now and again I'll get mad, upset over stupid stuff. Yeah, he's gifted me with her. I mean, a broken man, a man that is so undeserving of the gifts that he's given me, it's mind-blowing. I sit here today and I look out at a congregation that God led me to rejuvenate my faith, my love for him. I was lost. And I sit here and I just thank God for Pastor Frank, for the friends out there, for the friends that have been by my side through horrific events in my life. I look at my Bible study group. I will never be able to repay them for the impact they've had on my life. And as Bo touched on a minute ago, that story is my family story. We meet on Thursday nights, and I'm going to give you a little background on it. They picked me up, put me in a circle of protection, put their hands upon me, prayed over me and my family for love, hope, compassion. Very next day, boom, worst day of my life. Worst day of my family's life. But amongst all that, God was working. He was bringing people into that scenario, putting angels in my life, working miracles. And he sits right there today. I'm sorry. If not for those events, I would never be able to look at my son as my hero. For him to sit there today, the man he is compared to the depths of despair that he was, is mind-blowing to me. I mean, miracles that he performs out of tragedy in your life are so unexpected, you can't even fathom them. You sit there and I could sit there and curse him, we did. Doubt him, we did. Virtually hate him, we did. And then he opened our eyes. He showed us what it was to have a miracle performed right in front of our face. As my wife is on her knees crying, I'm crying, my friends are crying, Bible studies there for me, people coming out the woodworks, changing people. That event changed so many people's lives, and we don't see it. We look past it. We look at our pity party self. I did it for years. Tragedy, God does not work on our plan. His plan isn't our plan. We expect everything to be perfect. We're these Christians. We love God. We give God everything. And in reality, we don't. We take it for granted. We push him to the side. We don't give our all. We give here and there. We do this. We do that. We cry and boohoo about emotional problems, physical problems, marital problems. My car's not starting. I got to go to work. Lord knows we woke up today. Our eyes are open. We got another day to bless God. I'm going to tell you a story about praying. And it's about my father. He died a couple years ago of cancer. I'm like everybody else. I'm praying, begging. God, heal my dad. Heal my dad. Let it be good. Doctors, no offense to them, they don't know. They'll flip a coin. He's got 2 weeks to live. Another coin, 2 years. Flip a coin, 10 years. We didn't know. We went in for a routine checkup, Easton Hospital. morning time, talking just like we are. Father, joking, cutting up. By the end of the night, I watched my dad take his last breath with me holding his hand. Totally unexpected. And I prepared myself for my dad to die. Didn't see it coming. We cried for a minute or two, and then and there, I realized God healed my father. Not the way I wanted it, by no means. He took my dad's pain away. He opened our eyes. He gave me a sense of inner peace that is just indescribable because I knew my father was healed. We want to sit there and we want healed. My dad, boom, it's gone. He's going to walk around, walk out the hospital just like any other day. That's not how it works. Text Pastor Frank this morning. This was a curveball either God or Satan sent to me. Woke up, go to my garage. The garage is flooded. Water's pouring in. First thing this morning, 6 o'clock in the morning. And of all days, I'm sitting there like, I'm getting ready to pour my heart out, show the glory for you. And I walk out to my garage being flooded. I thought it was ironic. Text Pastor Frank, said, hey, I think Satan's trying to ruin my day. He texts me back. He's like, the path, I'd have to read it, but I ain't got no cheaters on. But he said, the midst of his path to Jesus is not easy. There's going to be destruction, things thrown in your way. We got to see past that. I was so blessed with the events that I've had, and those are just two of them. I ain't going to keep it because there's so many more. I mean, I'm talking tragic, devastating events that have led me to be standing right up here today, being able to give him the glory because he shows me that love. Great events, tragic events. We just got to look past that. I have been blessed so much to be able to come up to the altar that he begs us to do. He's jealous for us to do. Come up here and put it all on the line. Give it all to him. I do it every day, every single day. I look out here and I see people and there's calls to the altar and my wife always gets on me. You ain't got to go to the altar. You can do it in your chair. Yeah, you can. And I do. And I do it in my truck. I do it at work. I do it on my bed. For me personally, when there's a calling for every one of us, because we all have issues. And if you don't have the issues, you can give them the praise. You can praise them for the gifts. I praise them for my son. I praise them for my wife, my Bible study, my friends, my pastor, for me being able to stand up here. Far too often, we don't give them that praise. We'll give them that worry, that doubt, that why? Why are you going to let this happen to me? I follow you. I'm trying to be that person you want me to be. And here you are. My dad died. Horrific day. My garage is flooding right now. I mean, it's crazy. I've been Walmart, Lowe's, sub pump. But it's physical stuff. It's material stuff. For me, it's way too important to share what he's done in my life and the inner peace that I have because I'm blessed enough to be able to put it all out there for him. God sent us his son to be on that cross, arms spread open, nails pounded into his hands, feet pegged with nails to the cross. What's he want from us? To give it all to him. Put it out there. Don't carry that burden. I carried that burden for years. I carried that burden every day, whether it was stress, anxiety, depression, my dad's dying, this day's totally whatever. You know what I mean? I can tell you firsthand, beyond a shadow of a doubt, I stand up here because I'm able to give it all to him. Every day I give it to him. Every day, not just on Sundays, not just when there's a call to altar. And my goal for being up here is that every one of you see that God has the ability and wants you to put it all right here at his feet. He died for us. He died for you to be able to do that. And I can speak firsthand the difference it makes in my life because I do it every single day. I was able to put my dad's death there, my son's issues, my family's issues, my issues every single day. And I could walk out of here with so much release, so much tension gone that my goal for you guys and for me is to be able to come up here. They're going to play a song. I'm going to kneel down at this altar And I'm going to give it all to him again and again and again. And I ask you guys, you can do it at your seat like my wife says, or you can come up here to the altar and put your hand on someone's shoulder, put your knees on this carpet, put your head down, and give it all to him, because that's what he wants from us. And when you do that, I guarantee your life will change. Your soul, your mind, your body, your heart, it will change in an instant. And that's my plea to you guys. I'm almost begging you to do it, because I know what it did for someone like me. The man I used to be, the sinner I was, the sinner I still am, if he's that gracious to grant that grace and mercy to me, he's just begging you guys to put it all at the table so he can grant that for you. Amen. That's it. God bless you guys. And that's it.